Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hey, Ola, it's Miles. Thank you guys for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast.
Have you heard our newest podcast? It's called The Greatest Story Never Told.
Download it today on radio.com. Be sure to subscribe. New episodes are uploaded every Tuesday at noon.
This is the Men's Room.
Get it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. Kicksville. The Drippers, the Grasshoppers, the Hit Ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying eyes akind.
You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
We say hello and welcome in, listeners, out great radio stations like Bayou 95.7 in New Orleans. Also, our friends at 96.5 WCMF, Rochester's Classic Rock, and 98.3 The Keg in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Big show, our question, what did drunk guy do? We go to Poland, where a video shows a drunk zoo visitor jumping into a bear enclosure and wrestling one of the animals. The 23-year-old man was arrested for brawling with a large brown bear named Sabrina at the Warsaw Zoo and faces additional penalties because he was not wearing a mask.
I love that they added that charge. Like, you got drunk, wrestled a bear, but hey, cover your face.
In the footage, the man who is believed to be intoxicated is seen already inside the exhibit as the female bear, Sabrina, approaches him. He then jumps into a moat inside the enclosure to escape Sabrina's advances, but the animal follows him into the water. As the crowd watches, the pair then begin to fight each other in the water for about a minute, with the man at one point dunking the bear underwater. Again, think about this. He took him by the head, he dunked him down under the water. This is crazy. He then pushes the animal away before finally finding refuge on the top of an artificial island. Emergency crews responded to the scene to remove the man from the enclosure. He was arrested and charged with animal cruelty, disturbing the peace, and not wearing a face mask under the country's coronavirus guidelines. The drunk man did try to drown the elderly bear after breaking into the zoo. He has been sentenced to 20 hours of community service per month, and he has agreed to give up alcohol per the report. He also faces about £1,000 in fines for the bizarre encounter. A zoo spokesperson said the man was fortunate to have only encountered Sabrina, who is an ex-circus animal who is used to being around human beings. She used to belong to a circus and is accustomed to the presence of people, but she absolutely did not expect a human attack. That from the local zoo.
Yeah, I like how they say the guy agreed that he's going to stop drinking. Now listen, and we've all been there, okay? So I gave up tequila for 13 years because previous to that, after drinking sharing two bottles with one other person, we kidnapped someone. Now, we did not get into any legal trouble, and I found out later we still possibly could. We never got in any legal trouble, but I stopped drinking tequila because my thought was, hey man, you know, I've only kidnapped someone once, and it's only when I drank basically a bottle of tequila to myself and hung out with you. So this guy's saying, I agree to give up drinking. That's not what this is. What this is you sobered up and said, I did what now? Like, you jumped into a bear enclosure and wrestled the bear. Mm-hmm. That's why he gave up drinking. Yeah. If they had encouraged him to drink more, he would have said, you know what? I'm going to dial it back a little bit because this isn't like I sent a D-pic to an ex. I wrestled a bear. I don't care who you are. I think at that point, you go like, you know, man, I'm not going to really do anything this week. How are you? Drying out? Yeah. You know, man, I got kind of dry. Pissed the wife off. Nah, man. I broke into the zoo and I wrestled Sabrina the bear.
Mm.
You're like, yeah, maybe you should back off a little bit.
I think the dumbest move that I've ever made when just absolutely pretty hammered was about 2:30 in the morning one night. A bunch of friends are out. We're doing absolutely nothing because there's nothing to do. We were on some other things. We've been drinking. We decided that we're going to go take a hike around the city, see what's going on. We end up down by the railroad yard and checking out the trains and all the stuff. And there's a slow-ass moving train.
Of course.
Barely moving through. We keep watching it. And it seems like one of those trains that goes on and on and on for a while. And ultimately, we're just kind of waiting for this train because we want to get to the other side. We could have almost walked underneath this train like somebody else attempted to do not too long ago. But, we, you know, it was...
You weren't that drunk.
But we get the idea. Okay, we know these train tracks. We know where they go. They go to Pittsburgh. And they go along the water, and they go along the river, they go along the Monongahela the entire way north, and there's absolutely no other diversion to this track. It is the flat place. It's on the river. You know where it goes in. The train tracks, you can see them in any Pittsburgh picture, same tracks,
right.
Just running north and south, right? So we know where this thing is going to go.
How far are you from Pittsburgh?
We are probably an hour and 15-minute drive, okay? The train is literally moving at 10 miles an hour. We decide that we're going to jump on the train. And it was fun for a little bit because we all kind of found a place in between two cars where we could kind of sit.
It's great.
We still had like a 12-pack of beer. We're going to take this thing for a ride. We do have friends in Pittsburgh. This is easy. We'll get there in the morning. This will be a great adventure.
They'll be happy to see you.
We'll call them up in the morning and tell them we're here and, you know, we're going to hang out. We get on the train and we keep drinking and we're peeing off of it while it's moving. Now the train gets into this very dark area where it's not as well lit up and it's on the river. And now the train picks up speed. Now, everything was going pretty well until the train got up to its normal speed, which is probably 40, 45 miles an hour. It seemed like 80. You know what I mean? Like when you're hanging onto a car and we're having fun, though. But we determine that we've made a huge mistake and that the first thing we do is when this train slows down enough for us to get off one way or another, whether it's slowly moving, whether it has to stop, we're going to get out and figure out where the
hell
we
are. Do you have any idea where you are?
No, we know we are somewhere between West Virginia and Pennsylvania.
Right.
We might have crossed the border into Pennsylvania. We have no way of knowing this at that point in time. And then we see the lights ahead of us, like there's civilization. Now, it seemed like we were out there for like 2.5-3 hours. It probably was less time than that. It just seemed like forever that we could not get off this train. So we get off the train, and it is the morning.
Right.
Basically, at this point in time, it's like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. We end up in a town called Little Washington, Pennsylvania.
Oh, how convenient.
But we don't know where we are, because when we get off this train, it's not a stop for Amtrak. This is a coal train.
Right, right.
So there's no station. There's none of that stuff. There's no sign that says, welcome to Little Washington. There's nothing. We have to figure out where we are. So we finally walk up to a building, government building, post office thing, United States Post Office, said, we're in Washington, PA. Who the hell do we know in Washington, PA? We don't know anybody in Washington, PA. This is a real problem. But my one buddy back at the house, he had a car, and his girlfriend or friends were there, whatever. So we're like, look, we found a payphone. We called. We woke them up. What the hell's going on? Where are you guys? What happened? We're in Little Washington. How in the hell did you get to Little Washington? We jumped on a train. You dumbasses, that's not true. Where are you really? He's getting the business. He's like, please, please come pick us up. Please come pick us up. You know, so eventually she agreed to pick us up. We're still now. The drugs that we were on are conveniently dissipating,
right.
And we're all just flat and hammered because we drank so much that the drugs were kind of keeping us a little bit together. Not anymore. We are, and I will never forget how pissed off she was when she came to pick us up. I mean, there was no one even made a noise on the way home. We just kind of sat there like kids. You know, she's our age. We're like, oh man, she's going to kill us all. It's probably 40-minute drive. We almost made it.
As I say, you were pretty close.
We didn't go too far. You know?
But all you can think to yourself in those moments, I'm so glad this is not my girlfriend.
Yeah. Because
once you get out of the car, like, you're done.
Right.
He still has to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, as soon as you got out of the car, all that silence, that went away.
Oh, yeah.
And was replaced by every shred of anger that she had.
Oh, my God. It was, but it was one of those adventures where you still tell the story with your friends. Remember that time we got dumb and jumped on a train?
Yeah.
And, Seemed like a good idea at the time.
But look, people make mistakes. People make mistakes. And Mike Hawk found this, all right? And look, we're just going to take a quick poll to see who here is guilty of these things. It's the 15 most common mistakes that people make when they're drunk. And it starts with one that everyone's done, drunk dialing or sexting.
I would say social media more now takes that to a different level.
That is part of it. You found that tip?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Streaking. Has anyone gotten drunk and gone streaking? I think I have. I mean, like 30 years ago, but
no.
I'm pretty sure.
No, I didn't do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I've gotten naked for... I mean, I was always probably intoxicated when I was naked, but I was never really streaking. I was probably just standing around.
Specifically streaking, not skinny dipping.
Streaking. This is streaking specific. I've done it once.
I'm good on streaking.
All right. Sending naked pictures.
Well,
Have you sent a naked picture?
Yeah, but only if somebody asked for it.
All right. Well, that helps.
How long does it take you? How long does it take to get ready for the photo session?
It's the same camera angle.
You
like,
be like, yeah, yeah,
aim up,
right, 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 right.
Because you say like with people's face,
it's like school pictures. You got to get ready.
But you say if you hold the camera below your chin and shoot it up, you look heavier. If you hold it above your head, you look lighter. So I think if it's a D-pick, I'm going to hold it below, so it looks beefier. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to give it a little prep time.
This, I think we've all been in this, bar fights.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. I have not done this one drunk, but I know people that have. Getting a tattoo. All of my tattoos, I've gotten sober. I can say that much.
But. Well, you can't really be too intoxicated when you get a tattoo of your blood, right?
It depends where you go. When you go to a reputable place, what they'll do is, hey, we'll reschedule this because I'm putting my art on the line, right? Your blood
thins
out.
But you're going to be able to see, you know what I mean, what you're doing.
But when you go somewhere, we're talking about Ocean City, Maryland, and you just went to Secret, and you're getting all drunk, and I'm going to get the butterfly on my ankle with my... They're going to go ahead and hook you.
I have a buddy that woke up with a very large one.
A very large tattoo?
Oh, yeah.
Where?
Right here.
Was it his idea?
He's very good at maintaining, so he didn't... I don't think the shop realized how drunk he was. But he wakes up the next day, and there's a girl, right? Like, and she's got her head on his arm, and he's like, that's weird. Like, my arm really hurts. And then she picks her head up, and he's like, oh, I got a massive tattoo.
What is it of? Is it... Oh, no.
No, what is it?
Man, I don't want to be too...
Right, you don't want to out him. Is it like a cartoon character? Is it a...
You might have met him. He's a friend of mine.
All right.
You know what? Honestly, all right, I'll just say it. It's his nightmare.
He woke up to a nightmare on his arm.
Yes. Because one day, there used to be an MMA fighter that went by the nickname Nightmare. So I was like, oh, you're a big fan? And he's like, oh, no.
He didn't even know how that got picked out?
I can't, you know, there's more to the story. I just know he definitely kind of forgot he got it. So I'm saying, trust me.
How big of a piece is he? He's
still
kind
of bicep. I mean,
and let me tell you, that's that
inside of his arm.
That's going to be a tender spot to get a tattoo, too.
Yeah.
On the inside of your
It's
your
not
bicep.
Awesome.
Right, so if he's shirtless and flexed, I mean, that's what it says.
Nightmare.
We've all done this because we've all witnessed each other do it, be obnoxious in the club.
Yeah.
We've all done this. We've all witnessed each other do this, drunkenly spending all of your money.
Yep.
These are the 50 mistakes that everyone's done. I love the picture. Beer goggles.
Oh, no.
Let's see. Becoming best friends with your new frenemy. I don't know.
Our question, what did drunk guy do? 844-999-OLA. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hola, bitchola. You have entered the men's room.
What did drunk guy do? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Dustin. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola!
Hola!
What's up, fellas?
How are you, Dustin?
Oh, just went back to work for the first time in 2 months.
How you feeling about that?
I'd rather stay at home.
You'd rather stay at home? Is that what you said?
Yeah, man, I'm growing a garden, got all kinds of stuff going.
Yeah.
I know, absolutely. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Now work's going to ruin it all for you.
It is crazy to have that one-on-one time with your kids, because when you get into the grind of day-to-day life, time goes by really fast, and, you know, you're focused on other things, and your kids grow up really fast, and it doesn't seem like you have any time to spend with them. And even with my kids being in their late teens and early 20s and everything else, I've got to spend so much more time with them now than I really ever have in their life. And
But the kids don't necessarily reciprocate that.
Like, yeah,
for a couple of weeks, dude, it was really, really cool. We just had 4 days off instead of three, and I can tell you, when I said this morning, as I always do when I leave for work, I always a hug and a kiss and all that. So I walked downstairs, found my son. Hey, man, Dad's got to go to work. The look he gave me was like, cool. So
Get out. Go away, Dad.
All right, then.
I'm out. All right.
Yeah.
Love you, too. So, Dustin, were you the drunk guy?
Unfortunately, I was.
Okay.
So, I went to Portland for a bachelor party. And the first night, I ended up, you know, pulling a T-Pain and falling in love with the stripper.
Good reference.
So, spent a couple $100 there. Then I think I left or lost my debit card ID. One of those things happened. So we're hopping on the train to get back to Washington, and my buddy's buying all the Manhattan because I didn't have my debit card. So we're drinking them, we're putting them back, and I start swearing a bunch when I'm drinking. So I'm talking all loud, and then, like, the guy who runs the aisles there was like, hey, man, you got to tone it down. This is a family train. Like, you got kids right behind you. And so I, you know, deliberately say, freedom of speech, mother effer. You know? And just go off on him, and he's like, okay, whatever, I'm going to come back and talk to the guy. Apparently, I keep going. Where he pulls me aside, he's like, you're standing right next to me until we get to the next stop. I'm like, what? What's going on? He's like, we're kicking you off the train. I'm like, wait, how am I supposed to get home? He's like, that is not my problem. You should have been acting this way. So I'm standing next to him the whole time, just mouthing off at him, calling him out for what he did in high school. I have no idea who he is. And, you know, I'm calling him out for his junk and all this stuff. So we get to Tacoma, and I live in Cannon Park, and he's like, hey, get off the train. And so I get off the train, and then I just proceed to whip my junk out and flash the whole train. And so all my buddies are on the train still watching me pull out my junk. And so I try to use I go in to buy another ticket, and I use my buddy's name. They're like, nope, you look exactly like the guy who just got kicked off the train, and I highly advise you to leave the property. The cops are on their way. So I find a taxi driver, and I spend $180 to get back home.
Oh, and it was only a $40 train ticket.
I know.
Yeah, and you know what? I beat my buddies home, though.
Oh, you do? Well, you know what? Sometimes they have to stop and pull over and all that crap. You think it's going to be 3.5 hours, and it's not. But
or you got
to
kick people off.
The good news is that there was a stop along the way that was relatively close, because typically they will pull over in a cornfield and just let you out.
They're not kidding. Like, they will stop the train.
I mean, that's the good and bad about the train. The good is you can move around the train all you want, unlike a plane. But unlike a plane, like, right, they'll just... You're out.
I know, but I do think they're really not asking much of us. Now, bachelor party, train to Portland. I don't know what happens on the train to Portland if you're going to a bachelor party. It's the equivalent of getting on a plane going to Vegas.
Like, it really is.
But they have the bar car.
At the same distance.
Fairly similar scenario, but it was me, and I guess I was cussing. And I remember the guy. And he's like, hey, man. You know, basically the same thing. Like, he was a little angrier than that, but I do recall he was not pleased. You need to keep it down, stop cussing. But instead of whipping out my junk, we just kind of said, okay. Like, we realized we were drunk. He let us be drunk. His only thing was, like, you got to stop making so much noise. Not even the noise, but you got to stop cussing. And that was fair. On the train ride back, I do recall, not exactly the same situation, but we are drinking our faces off. So we keep going to the bar car, and we're buying lots of booze, and they keep serving us.
We ran into another bachelor party.
That's right. That is true.
And they had more
homemade
liquor.
Applejack.
Uh-huh.
So now we're all drinking together. But I remember the woman in the bar car, when I went up to buy more beer, she was like, so you and your friend, you have drank us out of beer. And I remember we had eye contact for like 5 good seconds. And I'm like, I got $20, says you're lying. She pulls out another six pack. I'm like, game on.
But that was the last six pack.
It was the last.
Then the entire train.
I went back to a different car to check. This is the guy that's playing the ukulele. I did not go back to insult him on this particular occasion, but just to check on our bags, right? Because your bags are still where your seat is. You're just up in the bar car. So I check on our bags, And there's a woman, she did not work with us, but she worked in the same corporate office tower we did. She's giving me like this kind of mean mug look, and I'm just kind of like, what's up? She's like, you guys drank all the beer. I said, oh, I know, man, I know. She's like, you guys also drank all the wine when they ran out of
we
beer.
We drank the entire
we just
drive.
Switched the
between the two bachelor parties. Yeah. I think that everybody
yeah, because it went from beer to wine to just give me a rum and coke.
She was pissed because she was like, although, and she's kind of smiling, but she goes like, listen, all I wanted to do, she's like, I'm just going back to Seattle. I just wanted to enjoy like a glass of wine. It's like, I waited basically an hour and a half to get up to get a glass of wine for the, and she's like, it was explained to me that it's all been sold out. She's like, I couldn't understand it. And the woman just pointed into the bar cart. She's like, I saw you and your stupid friends. I'm like, oh, that was us, man. Like, you should have joined us.
Impressive.
Yeah.
What did drunk guy do? 844-999-OLA.
Ah, Portland.
I was thinking about those other guys. They had the Camelback full of apple pie or something.
Yeah, apple pie, yeah.
Right? So it's just funny. Like, no, we're not drinking. Just a bunch of dudes sharing the same Camelback.
Right. Nothing to tell there. Hello, Danny. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola!
Hola!
So, I'll start my story with, this is Candlebox and Thrill. You could probably refresh my memory, but this is 1993-94.
All right.
Anyway, so this is my cousin and my sister and future, I guess, brother-in-law. And I will not implicate them at this time. So we start with a bottle of Jack and a half rack of beer in the trunk of my then-wife's brand-new 1993 Camry. We head out to Candlebox. We party in the parking lot of the Paramount Theater. Had a great concert. And then on the way back, we decide to stop at Alki and have this incredible sound listening party reenact Candlebox.
All right.
And then we're so brilliant, we decided to get it back in the car. And I lived in West Seattle at the time. So we were just going to go down Alki Avenue, cruise it real slow, be fine. Well, then another car pulls up right next to me, which is also a brand new 1993 Camry. And we're like, oh, game on. So we ripped down Alki, and my cousin Mark looks out his left-hand side and goes, oh, dude, that was a cop. We just passed a cop. So I peel up, I think it was Side Street, California. I said, Mark, I got this. I can outrun this guy. No, you can't. You kind of need to pull over. So we pull over the stop sign. Cop races up in the back. Lights on the whole bit, rips me out of the car, puts me on the trunk, and says, you screwed up, but so did I. Call your wife right now. And so then I have to call my wife. She comes down the hill in my beat-up old 1973 Ford pickup to ferry us all back to our house in West Seattle. Never lived that moment down in 20-plus years of marriage.
Have you seen Candlebox since?
No, but the cool thing was I just bought tickets to their next concert, which is in the Paramount, what should be in the Paramount.
When is that scheduled to happen? I remember those
went on sale. They sold out like in a second.
I just went online and bought them. I got four tickets, one for a good friend of mine in Utah, and then my cousin and me.
What is the supposed date of this?
The supposed date is in November.
Ah, okay.
Maybe they'll get to it by then.
You got a fighting chance.
I read a bunch of stuff about how that could possibly happen, but it's going to be way different.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's because a lot of it's just the number of people you can put into place. We were saying this before, you know, even if you open for business, depending on your state, county, city, whatever it is, you know, some places you can only go 50% capacity. Some places it'll be 20% capacity, so... In a way, like, so if I bought tickets to Candlebox, say it's at the Paramount, I don't know how many people it holds, say it's 2,000 people, right? But the show's still going to go on, but you're going to enforce the social distancing thing. Like, would it be a lottery to figure out who loses their tickets on this? If you say, like, look, we can fit 35% of what we were going to do because these are the new laws. So 65% of the people who bought, you're just SOL.
Yeah, like concerts and stuff, it's a much tougher deal.
Yeah, so
it's like with restaurants, right? If they're open to 50%, you can make reservations and this and that, and you can figure out how to get around.
Well, you think about even like Pearl Jam, right? They played Safeco Or
CenturyLink.
CenturyLink. No, they played.
They played Safeco.
They played Safeco.
The home show for Safeco. T-Mobile Park.
T-Mobile Park.
And it's magenta.
Right. Well, once we get in there, get used to that, it'll be easy to do. Either way, you know, there's thousands of people that are on the floor, and yes, there is certain seating allowed.
Sure.
But for the most part, like anything else, when we play a show at the Paramount, people are standing up in the front. White River has a mosh pit. There's an area where you can stand down there on the floor, right in front of the stage. All that's gone. You will have to have an assigned seat. There's no more of a group being standing around.
Oh, wait, will they do the thing where they mark off with the tape? Like,
maybe.
You can stand.
Yeah,
like,
here's an X. But.
And you can only, but like the mosh pits, like, would that be out? Like, look, man, you can't just collide and jump and kick.
Plus,
and punch.
The beer lines are long enough if you have to stand 6 feet behind. I mean, could you imagine how long that line is? It'd be like it's going all the way up the top of the hill.
You actually bring up, that's one of the better points, man. Like, look.
Standing in line is standing in line.
I know, but look, it's like anything, okay? So you could be at the grocery store, and I don't know, you're the eighth person in line, and when the person at the front, when they check out, everyone moves up the exact
6 feet.
Same. It wouldn't matter if you just stayed where you were, but even if you could move two inches forward, you do, because somehow you feel better.
Think about Disney.
But the social distance spacing really bugs people.
It does.
Like, I don't know why, because it's the same thing, right? You just have to stand farther back. But like,
it's not what we do. Again, like I said, if I'm at the grocery store, and the guy just checks out, like, it's only two additional inches that I move forward, but I do. And the thing is, if I don't, everyone behind me looks at me weird, right?
Oh, trust me.
I move 2 inches forward, then everyone.
I watched this dude freak out this weekend over, and I just wanted to be like, there's only one person in front of you in line. Like, it's a Starbucks.
Well, you know they
you're
have the,
right.
Like,
but
you would wait in this line any other day of the week.
But you know how they have the X's in the Bartell when you're checking out now, so you're, right. you're distance apart.
Yeah.
And, you know, like anything else, some guy was up by my back the other day, and I like turned around, I'm like, dude! I think I put X's on the floor. You know, like, this is it. You know, like, and I'm not trying to be that guy, but at the same point in time, like, you're right up on my back. You know what I mean?
Like it'd be uncomfortable in the best of times.
Surely this is, surely you understand what is happening, right?
Well, they do that on the bus. If you drive a bus, all right, because look, when you get on a bus, even on good days, 20% of the people there, you're like, dear God, I don't want to sit near them because you can already smell the pee that's been soaked into their pants. Like, can we put X's there, man?
Right.
You know, I mean, look, I mean, even if the virus goes away and everything returns to normal tomorrow, can we put X's on the bus?
You know for a fact that if you're in a place with 68,000 people and no one else gets it, NFL's going to play football. That's great. Can you imagine the line to the women's and the men's restroom and how that would have to be spaced out?
Right, it would just look much, much longer.
It looks like the whole thing, like you're going down a ramp. You know what I mean? Somewhere. I mean, and it's like, it's not like the line's not moving. It's just the fact that the perception of the line is like, I'm not waiting in that damn.
And Ted, you're right. It's not that you will get there any faster, but any line where the lines are that long, again, like sports bathrooms.
Or like the Disneyland, Disney World.
You stand as close comfortably as you can to the person in front of you. And right, it doesn't matter. But again, with the P line, right? One guy walks away from the urinal. Again, you literally can move 4 inches forward. You move all 4 inches.
Right.
Shuffle my feet. I'm moving up in line, man.
Yeah, it might be easier to use the trough because you know, like shoulder to shoulder with a bunch of people. You know what I mean? You don't have to worry about
probably like two guys to a trough, though.
Like nice penis. You don't have to worry about
that. You can
do
two guys to a trough. First time I ever saw a trough, I was in England and I was drunk. I was very, very drunk at an English pub. And I walk into the bathroom and it is a trough. But the thing about the trough, the way it's set up, you can't really like see it from the floor. So I open the door and it's the size of a bathroom. And there's a few stalls, and otherwise, there's like a sink, and it's just like all this white tile. And I don't know what to do, so I'm just standing in the doorway, kind of swaying as drunk people do. An English bloke walks by me, kind of gives me a weird look, is like, why is this guy just standing in the bathroom? Now he's looking over his shoulder at me, like, is this guy going to jump me? But I realize he's peeing, but it looks like he's just peeing against the wall. So I'm all drunk and kind of saunter up, and I realize
five-point style.
I'm walking closer to him as opposed to looking at the trough, because again, I'm drunk, so he's getting real nervous. And he's like, it's against the wall, mate. He finally figured out what my problem was. I'm like, oh. And I'll tell you what, it's awesome. Something about just peeing on a wall knowing it goes into a trough. Like, you can't miss, right? There's no muss, there's no fuss, nothing. But it's just weird to walk into a room like, where?
Somebody told me they
where
were
do
a,
I pee?
Remember the circular troughs?
Circular troughs?
No, you mean but like a hand washing station? Was there something like that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure they're troughs.
So what, we'd stand like in a perimeter? Would we all be facing each other? Or are they?
Yeah.
Wait, we're all facing each other?
Nice penis.
Hey, mate.
Oh, Roger, what a great penis.
Hey, Ted, you got red pubes, eh?
Hey.
I mean,
That would be awkward.
It's terrible.
Yeah. I thought those were a thing.
No.
I think I might have been on sink used.
Yeah, right.
What did a drunk guy do? 844-999-0.
I saw a guy at a University of Maryland football game peeing in the hand washing.
Oh. Hello, Paul. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Paul, what a drunk guy do?
What a drunk guy do? Many, many years ago, I was in the Air Force, and I was stationed at a small Air Force station in Klamath Falls, Oregon. And there were only 400 people there on the station, so the thing to do on weekends, of course, was to drink. And they had this 50 sock hop thing going on, and I was there with some drunk friends, and I was fairly lit. And for some reason, that scene in Animal House where the guy rides his motorcycle through the door and up the stairs kept replaying in my mind. And I made my first mistake by mentioning it to my drunk friends, who were like, yeah, do it, do it. Second mistake was listening to my drunk friends. And so I went and got my Harley and somewhat disguised myself and rode back to the NCO club. It's kind of a rectangular building. My friends got me through the front doors. And I'm riding through the main club, and I'm heading towards the dance floor. And my idea is to go out the back door that's next to the dance floor. And I remember revving my engine, you know, loud pipes and honking my horn. And everybody was just, I remember nobody moved. Everybody was in a state of shock. It's like they were frozen. And I'm having a great time, and I'm riding down this building towards the dance floor. And I didn't realize that I was picking up speed and going pretty fast as I neared the end of the building where the dance floor was. And also, unfortunately, it had been raining outside, so my tires are wet. So I'm braking hard when I hit the highly waxed dance floor.
Oh.
Down I went. And the Harley is on its side. It's on my leg, and I can't move. I'm pinned. I can't get out. And I remember looking back down the length of the room in the club, and again, and still nobody's moved. My friends are the only ones that are taking any action at all. They saw what happened, and they ran all the way down the room, lifted the bike off me. I got back on the bike. They opened up the back door, started it up, revved it a couple of times, and out the door, down the stairs, and back to the barracks. And I was stone cold sober by the time I got back to the barracks.
And not a word was spoken of this.
Not only that, I found out later, this was a small Air Force station, there was only one club, and I found out later that from my friends that the base commander actually was in the room at the time that this took place. And I thought for sure I was going to get called on the carpet the next day, and nothing ever happened. And the only thing that I can think of is he was a fighter pilot, and fighter pilots are kind of crazy, and maybe his attitude towards this was different because of that. Maybe that's what saved my bacon.
But no, wow. No tailpipe burn, no broken side mirror. The bike was fine. Everything was good.
Nope. Bike was fine. I was fine. Outside of being scared, I was fine.
That's amazing.
Damn, that is amazing, man.
Ride a
man.
Motorcycle into a club. I think about Rob Halford used to come out on a Harley Davidson, and same thing, like outdoor festival, yeah. Raining or whatever. And like, there's one point in time where he just drove accidentally the motorcycle into like the drum riser, yeah, right. And just wipes the whole. And then it's like, you think of Spinal Tap, yeah. Like that was just.
I mean, it's inevitable, like, based on a number
he's this
of times.
Badass, you know what I mean? Turbo lovers starting up or whatever, and he comes and out, zap the back tire, kicks out from under him. He goes straight into the drum riser, man. Hey, welcome Judas Priest, everyone.
By the way, Ted, you brought up the circular trough, so we all thought it was so funny. People have let us know that the old King Dome in downtown Seattle had circular troughs. One guy said, man, you're not local. The King Dome had circular troughs. So I asked, how weird was that? His response, I was a kid, and it was very weird to see what your future could look like.
You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We return to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
A sleeping drunken man drifted down a flooded Indiana River for more than 7 miles before he was rescued by DNR conservation officers and a sheriff's deputy. Officers and witnesses say the deputy and Neil Brewington, Jim Schreck, and Dennis Talley were very likely responsible for saving the man's life.
Oh, Schreck, save that man.
Since he was passed down the raft with a bottle of rum on his lap as he approached the Milltown Dam
on the Blue River.
Brewington and Schreck were the first to locate the man, but were unable to reach him with throw bags or awaken him despite shouting and blowing a whistle from a bank.
Come on, Schreck, yell louder.
Further efforts came when Talley and Hodges launched a boat while Brewington and Schreck set up a tag line across the river and rescue swimmer in hopes of preventing the man from going over a roaring dam. Fortunately, a Crawford County deputy spotted the man who had washed ashore a few miles above the dam. He eventually was able to reach him. After medical evaluation, Hodges arrested the man without incident. Officers were assisted by multiple fire departments and EMS personnel as they tried to wake this man up before he went over a waterfall.
Now look, I've woken up naked with a motorcycle helmet and some jarred. Miles, you woke up half laying, getting covered in snow and someone's bushes.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Ted, what is your worst? I got drunk, but when you wake up, I do not know where I am, and I am not indoors.
Somebody else's front yard.
Okay.
Do you know whose it was?
No.
Okay.
Right? That's always the problem.
Yeah, and like the story kind of got pieced together, like I think like the following like day we were on the air, because I had gone to a Husky game and then had some beverages, and then, yeah, somewhere along the walk home, I just took a nap at somebody's yard.
Oh.
Just kind of woke up in their front yard.
Was it a nice house?
Yeah, it was a nice house.
Okay, you know, all right.
But just, I guess I just got tired halfway from the walk.
I mean, I think to myself, if you have a front yard in Seattle, you're doing pretty well.
You're doing pretty well.
I mean,
like, you know, my thing, though, nice like, you can wake up drunk still from the night before. And a lot of times you don't know where you're at. But at least when you're indoors, you kind of think, all right, unless I broke into someone's house, right? Someone is making sure I'm all right. When you wake up outside, you know, and you don't know exactly where you're at, you're like, oh, no. I mean, because I got to get in contact with, I don't know if people have been looking for him, and you just don't know the scenario, man.
No, also, too, when you're on the water like that, and it's day drinking, and it's a float, or, you know, you got to think.
In other words, if you're out on the water, yeah.
The temperature's going to be a little bit hotter. It doesn't take much, you know what I mean? If you're going to float down with
He had a bottle of the water. Wouldn't be drinking beer.
I would pick, like, Mick Ultras or something that's going to kind of get me through the day.
Yeah, for sure.
But I'm not drinking rum. You think he's fried.
He's a pirate.
He's passed out.
But you think about it. They didn't say, like, he had Coca-Cola with them. He's just drinking rum out of the bottle. I like the guy, but damn.
What a drunk guy do? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Chris. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitch. Hola.
Hola. Chris, what a drunk guy do?
Well, drunk guy thought it would be fun to hang out with his buddies and take pictures and put them online saying he's having a chill weekend with his homies.
All right.
Except drunk guy is a minor and my son.
How old is your son?
he's almost 20. He was 18 at the time, about a year and a half ago.
And how did you find that? Were you on social media and saw it, or did the phone calls start coming in?
A friend of mine who is also friends with him, because all the kids are linked together.
Sure.
Said, hey, you know, your buddy's out with your kid, and check out this picture. I'm like, perfect, thank you. So when he got home, I explained to him, this is what's known as evidence.
Right. See, that's the father conversation.
That's fine. Mm-hmm. Don't put it on social media where your dad's going to find it. Because I'm more lenient than his mother. I said, because if she finds out, that's your ass.
Well, it depends on the situation. Look, I had the same conversations with my kids, not so much about drinking at their age, but same thing. Like, look, you should be glad that I intercepted this. Because if your mom found out, we'd be sucking you out of the car, but with a wet vac. So... And it's one of like, I'm not even mad at you. And I love that you had that conversation. Like, look, this is not about anger. This is about you being stupid. So when you commit a crime, I don't care if you commit a crime. It doesn't matter to me. Don't get caught and don't post it, right? If you rob a bank, don't tell me you robbed a bank. Just buy me a nice Father's Day.
And not only that, but you got to remember the youth of America, they're a lot more intelligent than we are as far as being traced. Well, look, we adults are dumb. We're the ones posting videos up with guys, husbands showering in the back and everything else. Kids with TikTok
that's
and
absent-minded.
Look, man, this stuff evaporates. Oh, yeah. Not that it all evaporates. We all know there's you can find it somewhere. Oh, but for the most part, these videos disappear pretty quickly after they're put out.
Some do. Have you seen their Facebook? I mean, like, I understand
well, Facebook's
TikTok.
Different, but that was the idea behind Snapchat.
Right.
Was that it just disappeared.
Correct.
But even then.
But if you catch it in the window, you're going to go, what are they doing? But again,
that's, I don't know. And I'm very old school with the just don't tell anybody anything unless they were involved. And then that person involved agree not to talk about it. Right. So because to me, I get the idea of Snapchat, definitely much safer. But it's like to me, that's like all right, a cop has pulled someone over for speeding. Mm-hmm. And they're out of their car. They are at that person's window. They're speaking. And as you drive by, you're like, got cocaine in the truck. I get that he's probably not going to run to his car and chase it down. But like, he doesn't need to know anything. He doesn't need to know anything, no matter how brief the encounter. Like, just don't do it.
What a drunk guy do? 844-999-OLA.
Yeah, I'd put that in there with people that like send out screenshots of a text conversation.
Right.
I'm texting you. If I wanted everybody to see it, I could have put it on a platform for everybody to see.
Exactly.
But I didn't.
Yeah. For a reason. And then when we read that screenshot, like, I can see why your buddy would not want that to be screenshotted to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
exactly. I just no evidence. Because, no, look, before cell phones, there were cameras. But I do not remember a time where, when you're a teenager, you're doing everything illegal, we still never said, hey, grab your camera real quick. I have a picture of this.
Ryan Castle is coming in. Well, he's actually in his basement at Home Dungeon Studio, but we'll talk to Ryan coming up. We'll sit and spin. And since it is summer, the 10 best summer songs of all times coming up.
Hola! The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.